Iran used the one-year anniversary of President Trump's decision to pull out of the Obama-era nuclear deal to announce it will stop complying with portions of the deal. President Hassan Rouhani said in 60 days, Iran will stop exporting excess uranium and heavy water. Now, those were two requirements of the deal to make sure the country sent away uranium used in producing electricity so it couldn't be used to be enriched and build a nuclear weapon. By all accounts, including the UN inspectors, Iran was complying with the deal even after the U.S. pulled out and imposed sanctions and took away waivers that had allowed other countries to buy oil from Iran. Jim Walsh is here now, security analyst. He's with MIT Security Studies program. He joins us in the studio. And Jim, you remind us that those waivers not only allowed other countries to buy oil from Iran to prop up its economy, but what?
Well, the waivers allowed the non-proliferation parts of the deal to work.
Because they took away the uranium.
Right. So back in 2010, 2011, everyone was very excited and concerned that Iran was stockpiling low-enriched uranium and heavy water. And they feared, well, if they had a big pile of it, they might divert it to a weapons program. So we wrote a deal that said, beyond a certain threshold, you have to export it. And then we impose sanctions on shippers this week, on shippers who would take that stuff away, which would be a non-proliferation win. And so so the Iranians said, okay, fine, then we won't export it.
Well, yeah, how would they get rid of the uranium as required by the deal if not with shippers who would take it away?
Well, I guess they could pour it down the drain or into the ocean or something. But insofar as they need an international business to help them, that part is going away. Now, they are entitled to do this. If you go to page 13 of the Joint Comprehensive Plan of Action and look at section 26, it says, if the U.S. reimposes sanctions, Iran claims the right to back off some of its commitments. Now, these are small. I want to emphasize these are small, and Iran said it's doing this, but it wants to stay in the agreement. It wants the agreement to work, but people have to step up to save it. Mm. Now, 60 days from now, I think if they do take additional actions, then those would be more significant.
If we start seeing them enriching uranium.
At a higher level,
I hear the incredulity in your voice. Because it is hard to understand if somebody's complying with a deal, why you are then bringing the stick down on them because they're already complying with the deal.
Right,
supporters of the president's plan say that Iran is backing groups like Hezbollah. They want other changes from Iran. As we hear others say, they want Iran not to be Iran.
Yes.
What is your sense of how this is going to work?
Yeah, I think you've put your finger on it. This is an identity issue. It's not about policy. It's hard to negotiate on identity. We don't want Iran to be Iran. This was never about nuclear weapons or nuclear proliferation. If it was, we never would have pulled out of the agreement. And the fact that we're sanctioning firms, making it harder for the non-proliferation parts of the agreement to work, sort of shows that this is just about Iran. We hate Iran, we love Saudi Arabia, and we're just going to keep beating it with a stick till we get what we want.
Well, but, you talked about 60 days from now, this could be very ugly. But in the meantime, what happens to the other countries that are still in the deal? I mean, are they being forced to choose between Iran and the U.S.?
Yes, and there are two countries or sets of countries where this is playing out the biggest. One is China. China does not want to end buying oil from Iran. And it's unclear. There's been very little reporting about what has happened after the May 2nd announcement on those waivers. But China is not pleased. The other are the Europeans. And we have sanctioned everyone so much, so often, for so long, that we have forced our friends, the Europeans, to try to devise a scheme that would allow them to get around the U.S. sanctions, around the U.S. banking system, and deliver humanitarian aid. That is not a good thing for us. Probably isn't going to work anytime soon. But if they were able to figure it out, that would be a gun aimed at a major economic asset for the United States, which is we control the banking system.
Well, and speaking of sanctions, how bad is Iran's economy right now?
I think it's bad. The chief consequence of sanctions, every study will tell you, is corruption. I think that's probably strengthening the Revolutionary Guard. It makes things more expensive for average people. But if you're hoping that they're going to get up and rally and throw out the bums, normally when a foreign power threatens a country, that leads to a rally around the flag result, not a throw the bums out effect.
Yeah. Jim Walsh here now, security analyst. He's with MIT Security Studies program. We think you're hearing that you are worried about these events.
Yeah, I am. I can think of at least four scenarios in which this actually leads to an armed conflict. So I am concerned about it.
Okay. Well, we are now to thank you.
All right.